Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 149 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. Concerns about the spread of coronavirus, though, continue to hang over the Tokyo Games like a dark cloud. The AP's Julie Walker reports.
Are the Summer Olympics in Japan going ahead or not in the wake of the coronavirus? The IOC says yes, but not everyone is so certain. Former International Olympic Committee Vice President Dick Pound told the Associated Press there's a three-month window to decide the fate of the Summer Games. However, a spokesman for the Japanese government says the IOC is going ahead with the Tokyo Olympics, and Pound's opinion doesn't reflect the official view. The coronavirus that began in China has infected more than 80,000 people, around 900 of them in Japan, and 57 here in the United States are being treated, according to the government. The death toll globally is more than 2,700. I'm Julie Walker.
Thanks, Julie. Meanwhile, Tokyo Olympic officials are considering scaling down the torch relay due to concerns about coronavirus. The Tokyo 2020 CEO, Toshiro Muto, spoke to reporters in Japanese on Wednesday. Muto says Olympic organizers are not thinking of canceling the torch relay at all. He says they are thinking of scaling it down so they can prevent the coronavirus from spreading and they can go ahead and hold the event. Muto also said the Tokyo Olympic Committee's basic stance is that the Olympics and Paralympics will go ahead as planned. In more Olympic news, South African Caitlin Roeskrantz made history last year by becoming the first gymnast in her country to win a gold medal at an international meet, earning her a spot on the nation's Olympic team. Roeskrantz is now training ahead of making her Olympic debut in Tokyo. VOA's Anita Powell filed this Olympic profile from Johannesburg.
Caitlin Roeskrantz won South Africa's first gold medal at the International Gymnastics Federation Challenge Cup in 2019. In July, the 18-year-old will become the first South African woman since 2004 to represent her country at the Olympics in artistic gymnastics. But it hasn't been easy, says Roeskrantz, who trains up to 8 hours per day and believes that struggle blinds the path to success.
They come hand in hand. You know, I've been through so many injuries, I can't even tell you, from, you know, small little pains and niggles to operation. I've went for knee operation, you know, so it's, I think I've had it all, you know, so not only physical struggle, but also mental, because with, you know, big injuries, it really does take a big toll on your mental, especially in a sport like gymnastics.
Competitive gymnastics is uncommon in this part of the world and is dwarfed in popularity by sports like football, rugby, and cricket. The only two sub-Saharan African nations to compete in Olympic gymnastics are neighboring Namibia and South Africa, which has never won a medal. With the help of her coach, Roeskrantz plans to change that.
You often get a gymnast who's really talented, who's not really prepared to put in the hours, or who definitely they don't maximize their training hours. But Caitlin has got the potential as well as the work ethic, and that just is a winning combination.
Vita Roeskrantz gave up her full-time job as a nurse and their larger house to support her daughter's career. It's worth it, she says. Caitlin was born to be a gymnast.
I mean, before she could sit, she was
moving all the time. She was kicking her legs and she was grabbing things and she was, and when she started walking, like I said, she was all over the place. You know, she would run and climb and tumble and jump, and she was just fearless.
Caitlin Rosecrans's best friend, Naveen Darius, is South Africa's international champion. She hopes to secure the nation's second spot at the Olympics during the March African Gymnastics Championships.
Caitlin is opening doors. We all are working hard, and it is getting better. People are noticing us more, which is always nice. She's amazing. She inspires me every day. I tell her, like, all the time, like, Caitlin, I look up to you. Like, don't change. She is amazing. She's motivational. She supports me. She's like a pillar in the gym.
More than just winning at the Olympics, Rosecrans wants to put the spotlight on South African gymnastics. Earning the country's first gold medal in an international competition and being its first woman gymnast at the Olympics in 16 years is a pretty good start. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
The 12-team Basketball Africa League, or BAL, will tip off its inaugural season on March 13th in Senegal. The Port Harcourt-based Rivers Hoopers team will represent Nigeria in the BAL. Rivers Hoopers have been drawn in the Nile Conference with Zamalek of Egypt, Union Sportive Monastirien of Tunisia, Mozambique's Ferroviario de Maputo, Forces Armées Police of Cameroon, and Patriots Basketball Club of Rwanda. Rivers Hoopers are excited about competing in the new BAL. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, head coach Ogo Odadu had this to say.
It's a privilege to be part of the historic maiden edition. It's not an easy task for you to be among the first 12 teams that in Africa that will participate in such a competition. So we're very happy, we're very pleased, and we're happy that we have this kind of opportunity to represent Nigeria at that level.
You have been grouped in the Nile Conference for the maiden edition of the BAL, Basketball Africa League. What's your reaction to the teams you found yourself to play against in that Nile Conference?
It's a good draw. We knew it was going to be like this. When the 12 teams were unveiled, once we knew the 12 teams, we knew there was no conference that was going to be easy. Any team that you are grouped with is a good team. But we are happy being in the Nile Conference because I think it's easier for us to make it out of that group to the next round. So all we have to do now is just get our act done. We are scouting the teams. Immediately we got the conference groupings. We started scouting the teams that we did not know yet. A couple of them we know, but there are some that we don't know anything about. So we started scouting, and hopefully we should get some information on them.
How prepared is your team for the takeoff of the Basketball Africa League?
Well, we have done all that we are supposed to do. We still have close to 20 or more days for jump ball. We are hoping that we are going to move to Lagos 1st or 2nd of March to complete our camp. And then what we are going to do is we want to go to Lagos because we can get a lot of teams there that we can play friendly games against, which is the major thing when you are preparing for competition. You have to play a lot of friendly games. So we are going to be in Lagos to play friendly games anytime from the 1st of March.
And what has been the expectations from your players that they are going to play in a tournament that is equivalent to the NBA in the United States of America?
Everybody has been excited, not only my players. We've been receiving calls from everywhere about this inaugural league. But I can tell you that my players are very, very excited. We knew about this last year when we went for the President's Cup, and we knew that, hey, only an outright win can make us qualify for the BAL Africa League. And so that's why we performed that well at the President's Cup, to make sure that we were part of this historic event that's about to take place.
That's Ogo Odadu, the head coach of Rivers Hoopers basketball team. And Ogo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Ogo Odaudu, head coach, River Supers basketball team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the league-leading Milwaukee Bucks won their 50th game of the season, beating the defending champion Toronto Raptors in Canada. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto.
The Milwaukee Bucks beat Toronto at their own game with a 108-97 win at Scotiabank Arena. The Raptors got to within six on two occasions in the fourth quarter, but the Bucks, one of the best defensive teams in the league, protected the hoop and took advantage of Toronto foul trouble to put this one away. Chris Middleton led the way for Milwaukee, finishing with 22 points.
We played into the hands a little bit in that first quarter. I think we could use a little bit of a back-to-back of an excuse, but we didn't let it keep happening for the whole game.
Giannis Antetokounmpo added a double-double, 19 points and 19 rebounds. Pascal Siakam was Toronto's top scorer with 22. The Bucks have now won 9 of their last 10 games. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. The Bucks, red hot. Now let's go to Southern California, where superstar LeBron James had a big game for the Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles, California.
LeBron James scored a season-high 40 points in the Lakers' 118-109 win over the Pelicans.
I just love to play the game. It's not satisfaction for me. It always comes in a win. And no matter how well I'm playing, if it goes in a loss, then there's no satisfaction in that at all. So to be out there with my guys and be able to get a win, win column, that's always the greatest satisfaction I can have.
Teammate Anthony Davis had a solid all-around night, scoring 21 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 block shots. The Lakers have won 6 in a row. This was James' first head-to-head meeting against rookie phenom Zion Williamson, who had several impressive dunks and finished with 29 points. Brandon Ingram was high scorer for New Orleans with 34. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. In more NBA news, star guard Stephen Curry is aiming to return to the Golden State Warriors lineup on Sunday for the first time since breaking his left hand in October. Warriors coach Steve Kerr says the hope is that Curry will be able to play against my favorite team, the Washington Wizards. Steph Curry has been practicing in recent weeks, and he will be reevaluated Sunday before a final decision is made. Steph hasn't played since breaking his hand October 30th against the Phoenix Suns. The Warriors can surely use Steph Curry back in the lineup. It seems like just yesterday the Warriors were winning trophies and people were talking dynasty. But right now the Warriors have the worst record in the NBA, 12 wins and 46 losses. So I know they want Steph Curry back to help them out. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And for our Voice of America listeners keeping score this evening, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English language program. It was founded by the late great music man Leo Sarkisian way back in 1965. This award-winning program has featured Pan-African music that spans all genres and generations. So tune in, Heather Maxwell and Music Time in Africa. Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova announced her retirement from the sport Wednesday at the age of 32. Sharapova is a 5-time Grand Slam singles champion. She became one of the highest-paid sportswomen in the world, using her glamorous looks to secure lucrative advertising deals. Sharapova broke the news of her retirement in an article for the magazine Vanity Fair. Her decision is hardly a surprise, as she has struggled with injuries and poor form since returning from a 15-month drug ban in 2017, the result of testing positive for meldonium at the 2016 Australian Open.
I wanted to let you know that a few days ago I received a letter from the ITF that I had failed a drug test at the Australian Open. I did fail the test, and I take full responsibility for it. For the past 10 years, I have been given a medicine called Mildronate by my doctor, by my family doctor. And a few days ago, after I received the ITF letter, I found out that it also has another name of meldonium, which I did not know. It's very important for you to understand that for 10 years, this medicine was not on WADA's banned list, and I had been legally taking the medicine for the past 10 years. But on January 1st, the rules had changed, and meldonium became a prohibited substance, which I had not known.
Maria Sharapova has played only two matches this year, losing in the first round of the Australian Open, and her singles ranking has slid all the way down to 373. In that Vanity Fair magazine article, Sharapova says, and I quote, "Looking back now, I realize that tennis has been my mountain. My path has been filled with valleys and detours, but the views from its peak were incredible." Maria Sharapova retiring from tennis at the age of 32. Halima Othmani joins us now from Kampala with a feature on how the popular sport of American-style football is making some inroads in Uganda.
Ugandan Stephen Okeng was visiting a friend at an orphanage in 2014 when he noticed American volunteers introducing the children to a game he had only watched on TV. The 27-year-old architect asked if he could also play and quickly became hooked on American football. Okeng started organizing players and in 2015 formed the American Football Federation, Uganda. There are now four teams around the country, each with 23 players.
As the game continues to grow, we have very many institutions and secondary schools that are willing to have the game adopted into the sports curriculum. But we find that our biggest challenge are the coaches. We don't have the resources, the human power to go and help us with the sport.
The teams also lack helmets and pads, forcing them to play flag football instead of the full contact tackle version of the game. Nevertheless, in 2018, Uganda's National Council of Sports recognized the sport's growing popularity with $10,000 to help fund the federation. Council spokesman Ismail Dakaba says American football has shown great potential in schools, especially those teaching English.
The language that you're going to use to teach the sport is very important. It's a sport whose technicalities are entirely in English. A touchdown, quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, those do not have anywhere in local dialect that you're going to be able to translate them. So it's easier when you introduce them within the school system where people are studying English, because then it's very easy for them to interpret what is happening.
While most players are male, women are also playing. They include the Chambogo University's team captain, Caroline Ajidru. She says it's a challenge to convince Ugandan women that American football is not too rough of a game.
I think girls will join, only that we've not been having that routine training that has kept them away. But some have come, we're like five, others are still coming and I'm still convincing them.
Imran Sumuju, who coaches the Chambogo team, says players have shown great promise in regional competitions.
We are in a flag football, whereby these players need to first understand in the routes they are running, the formations they're installing within the game, whether defense or offense or running back or wide receiver. But when you look at the players, the way they catch, they are good, only that they lack some facilities that we use in these techniques.
Uganda's National Council of Sports this year plans to sponsor the team for a training tour of the United States. They want Uganda's players and coaches to learn more from the National Football League, the organization responsible for professional American football. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
Thanks, Halima. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of head coach Ogo Odadu, who we heard from earlier in the show. Ogo is the head coach of Rivers Hoopers, Nigeria's representative in the new Basketball Africa League. And with a nickname like Hoopers, you know the Rivers Hoopers like to hoop it up. Go Rivers Hoopers! And that wraps up the February 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer PJ Elliott. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
It's been a little over 15 months since NASA's InSight lander touched down on Mars. The space agency reports that six new published papers detail some of the findings made by InSight, both above and deep below the red planet's surface. Scientists found that Mars trembles much more than expected, with 174 seismic events, or Mars quakes, over a period of 235 Martian days, or 241 and a half Earth days. Mars doesn't have the same tectonic activity that causes quakes here on Earth, so scientists suggest volcanic activity are causing the Mars quakes. While the red planet lost its magnetic field billions of years ago, InSight provided information that when it did exist, it magnetized rocks located between 61 meters and several kilometers underground. The scientists are still waiting for data from InSight that can determine whether Mars has a solid or liquid core. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.